I'm Paul Wegraff, Director of the Delaware Division of the Arts, and your host for today. Joining me in the studio today is Shannon Woodlow, a 2019 Emerging Artist in Visual Arts Photography for the Division of the Arts. And joining by phone is Shayla Sabri, a 2019 Established Artist in Literature and Poetry. Welcome, both of you. What I'd like to do today, it's going to be a little bit of a challenge because I can see Shannon, I can't see Shayla. So I'll try to remember to call out a name when I have a question. But let's start with Shannon, since I can see you. Give us a little bit of background. I mentioned you received an emerging fellowship in visual arts photography. Talk a little bit about your background as a visual artist.
Okay. So my background is really steeped in who I am. My interest in photography came from growing up with my mom always having a camera around the house. There wasn't one event, activity that there weren't pictures taken of, or a non-event or activity, me sitting on the toilet in the bathroom. And she wasn't a photographer. It was just her thing. She always had cameras around. And so my interest in that and looking back at those pictures, and then even some picture archives that I found of my grandfather when he was about 6 or 7 years old, and then his parents, and just seeing those things and recognizing that as Black people, people of color, that isn't something that's typical. Talking to my other friends, noticing that they don't have pictures from growing up or things mm-hmm. like that. So that is one thing that led me to wanting to photograph. And then the other thing is just I just see things. I see beauty in everything, and I've always wanted to capture that. So I was working a job doing admin stuff, data entry, absolutely completely away from the arts, and one day I just was like, I'm gonna buy a camera, and I did, and I'm fully self-taught. I took a couple classes at Wilmington University, but I ended up learning a lot from YouTube because the pace wasn't fast enough for me. I wanted to know more and learn more. And so that's pretty much my background, where I came from.
So is your experience as a photographer, has it always been in the digital realm?
It has been in the digital realm. A goal of mine when my life slows down a little bit and I don't have a little one at home is to delve into film photography. That process, photography in general is a process for me. I do my own framing. I edit my images. It's all a part of the process. So for me, to do film photography and editing and things like that would absolutely be another process that I want to explore at some point.
Now, with your photography, because it's digital, do you do any work with, I don't know the technical terms, morphing or, treating or whatever?
Yeah, it's self-taught. So I'll take an image of it. It could be anything. And once I look at it, it'll speak to me. If that makes sense. And I'll kind of decide what I want to do with it from there. And then that's what will challenge me. All right, how do I learn how to do this on Photoshop or do this in Lightroom or whatever. I do, depending on the subject matter or what it is, I try not to do too much editing. I try mm-hmm. to keep it as much in the raw form, mm-hmm. raw state that it is in without doing too much editing. But I do. I can do all of that, lots of manipulation, and I've created flyers and portfolios for other artists and things like that. So, yeah, I'm able to do it all.
Do you have any kind of web presence that our listeners could go to?
I do, and I don't. I have a website. It's at sawphotog.com. My initials are SAW, S-A-W. My mom told me that she wanted my initials to spell something because she heard it was good luck. And so hopefully the SAW will mean my photography will have good luck for my photography. But I kind of took the website down because it was kind of geared towards more like commercial photography, mm-hmm. which isn't really what my passion is or what I wanted to do. And I'm also a full-time digital storyteller at the museum. So I kind of get that commercial photography in. So I really wanted to focus on more fine art. So the website is there. You'll see there right now just promotion for the 401 exhibition, more of a description and links to both mine and Shayla's DDOA page. And I also, and a link to my blog, which kind of speaks to a little bit more what I like to do.
Okay. And with that, let's segue over to Shayla. Shayla Sabree, a 2019 established artist in literature poetry. Shayla, talk a little bit about your background as a writer and particularly poet.
So I have a journal from second grade that says I love to write. And I always kind of, when people ask, you know, when did you become a writer, I say, I don't know, because in second grade I'd already declared that it was a passion of mine, so maybe since I could actually hold a pencil. So loving to write has always been a huge part of who I am. I've journaled, written short stories, written little essays, and I just remember writing being such a big part of who I was growing up. You know, I had that second grade notebook is a red Spiro Brown notebook, but I can remember my first diary that had Aladdin on the front. And it had a little key and, you know, but throughout the years, I just have kept journals and, you know, I think I wrote my first short story collection while I was in high school, and it was about four other women of color in high school and what it meant for them to experience different things, in predominantly white spaces. And so, it's always been something that's such a big part of who I am. It wasn't until I studied creative writing in undergrad at the University of Richmond as a minor, and I just knew I was going to be the next F. Scott Fitzgerald, which really meant that I was going to be the next Zelda Fitzgerald and write my own Great Gatsby. And I just knew those things about myself. And then it became slowly but surely clear after I applied to graduate school that I was a not so great fiction writer and perhaps a better poet, which I never would have thought. I took a poetry class in undergrad with the late Tomas Soloman, and it was so difficult, but I was so fascinated with the ability to grapple with language and what it meant to tell an elaborate story in such a compressed space. So one of my fellow classmates wrote a poem about her uncle and his experiences in the Vietnam War and how close her uncle was with her father. And at the end of the poem, her uncle commits suicide, and it talks about, you know, how shocked her father was. And it felt like in the course of the poem, you know, something that was less than two pages long, I got to know this man, but also felt a level of devastation, also felt blindsided at the end of the poem. And so I realized I wanted to be invested in a work that was capable of doing something like that in such a small space, that was able to impact a person in that way. And, you know, I wasn't sure if I was capable of doing it and felt a little timid about it, but it became clear that I was much better at, you know, these finite spaces, because I was really interested in language and really interested in emotion and leaving someone in this powerful moment. But, you know, other things that fiction required, like character development and setting and plot, I actually wasn't that great at. So it was sort of a while until I discovered, I knew I loved to write, but it was a while before I discovered poetry, and, you know, probably would still be fairly timid until just a couple of years ago about calling myself a poet. It felt like such an honor, and I didn't think I belonged to this cool kids club. But, like, now I think I have a foot in the door, so I'm pretty pleased with that.
What would you consider some of the considerations the poet has to have that the prose writer might not? And maybe that's a naive question. I mean, I'm thinking, if nothing else, economy of words.
Absolutely. There's this nature of being concise in poetry that's so important, and there's an economy of language. And so I think the prose writers that I know might spend, you know, a whole day working on a chapter or a short story. I might spend a whole day on one line because something's not right about the line. Something isn't right about the cadence or the rhythm or the word choice, and I'm just laboring over the diction and one word or one, if I want it to be a semicolon or a period, like these things in such a small space in a poem. And I write particularly short poems. Most of mine are under a page, and I also Love a Sonnet, which is a 14-line poem. So I'm usually working in a tight constraint, and it matters whether or not I want that person to read a semicolon or a period or an M dash. And I think there is a focus on the each word, and diction is really, I think, important to all writers. But when you have such a confined space, I think, you know, we labor over the words so much in every single instance.
Let me ask you this, as one who talks about laboring over the words, and I'm asking for my own curiosity's sake, mm-hmm. are there poems that are better heard than read, and poems that are better read than heard, if you know what I mean?
I do, and I think there are. I think some poems carry a different weight and energy when someone is reading them in front of you and has a particular presence about them. Like, I think about the difference between people who are known as spoken word poets and people who are known as page poets. And I'm known as someone, and those aren't necessarily the words that everyone uses, but right. I'm someone who occupies a lot of space on the page and not necessarily a lot of space in performance. And I think people who occupy space in performance, like, there's such a craft in that I recognize that I don't have. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel capable of reading one of my poems aloud, but the performative quality that comes with spoken word poetry is something that's not in my wheelhouse. And I think those poems are written for the purpose of being spoken. Like, there's often a lot more rhyme and rhythm are really the focus of mm-hmm. those poems, because you're trying to pull someone in with the cadence of your language and creating this sort of powerful funnel in which they can get caught up in. And I think things that exist on the page in a different they occupy a different space, and it might not be that we're as focused on rhythm or rhyme or that particular cadence, but we want to make sure that we're writing something that I think in both groups, we're hoping that there is something that we will create that stays with you when you leave. So whether it's meant to be spoken or meant to be read, we're all sort of looking, even if it's just one line, that one line sort of haunts the person who hears or reads. And so in that way, I think, regardless of whether the poem's written for the page or written to be spoken, we're after something similar. Like, we want to leave you with something that's going to get kind of stuck in your teeth the way that popcorn kernels do, that mm-hmm. you feel it, that you notice that it's there, and that you continue to carry with you. Hopefully not as painful as popcorn stuck in your teeth. But
well, both of you have just incredibly intriguing and thoughtful backgrounds, which you are going to be bringing together in a program. But let me first remind our listeners that you are tuned into Delaware State of the Arts here on News Radio 1450 WILM and 1410 WDOV. Our guest in the studio today is Shannon Woodlow, a 2019 Emerging Artist Fellow in Visual Arts Photography. And joining us by phone is Shayla Sabree, a 2019 Established Artist in Literature Poetry. Now, Shayla and Shannon, you are coming together for a collaborative exhibition called 401. Let's talk a little bit, and either one chime in. We might overlap a little bit since we can't see each other. Chime in about how the idea for this collaborative exhibition came to fruition, and how the planning that's gone into it, and when the program is, what it's going to look like.
Okay.
Either one.
Do you want me to talk about the book first?
Oh, sure.
Yeah, I was going to say speaking to what your question about
right.
reading and reading it or hearing.
And hearing.
Mm-hmm. That's something. So, yeah, I would like Shayla to talk about the book a little bit.
Okay. Great. Go ahead, Shayla.
So I had a book come out this fall, in fall 2019 in October, called Mistress. And it is a collection of poetry that grapples with Black women's experiences and the representations of Black women through the voices of a contemporary speaker who bears my name, and Sally Hemings, the enslaved woman that had at least six of Jefferson's children, Thomas Jefferson's children, and these two are sort of having a back and forth conversation about the cross-generational experiences of Black women, and how the treatment of Black women has not changed dramatically in the 200 years since Sally Hemings passed away. And so Shannon and I started having this conversation about the project as we both realized that we were both fellows and we were both working at the Delaware Art Museum at the time, and we're having this conversation that she takes photographs there in response to literature, and how I've always been interested in collaborating with a visual artist in conversation with my work. And we both kind of got stuck on the conversation about Black sexuality that sort of came up in my collection.
Right, and Shayla, she was gracious enough to share Mishra's with me prior to its release and starting to plan the work, plan this show. And so I thought I had a grasp on it. But once her book launched and she had her official launch in Charlottesville, at Charlottesville, Virginia, at Monticello, and she did her reading, I connected with the work so much more. Like, I felt it so much more. And I had read 90% of the book at the time. And for me, it made it even more clear that this really needed to be about an exploration of, because as a Black woman, hearing her talk, and I just felt so proud, and I just felt heard, and I just really wanted visually that to read. And so it not to be just about Sally Hemings and about Shayla, but to be about Black women as a whole, and what that looks like with those effects of slavery, and until now, what that looks like, and kind of a reclaiming. There are some ways that I've interpreted some of her work that's different than what she intended, but she's been open to it. She's like, she loves the difference in the interpretation, and she's okay with that. Because for me, this is like, it's an empowering thing to hear our story, for it to be heard. And visually, I would like to read that. It's a way for us to take back our title and who we are and our sexuality.
So Shayla's work inspired you. So from the photography side of things, did you then go out and start shooting photographs that sort of resonated with what you had read in Shayla's work?
So no, for me, it's a really long process because it has to do with literature. So I have to sit with the work for a while. I have Shayla's book. I'm not sure exactly how many poems it has, but I've selected about it's over 20, but there are about 20 images that'll be produced. But I'm looking for similar themes. I'm very much about props and placement of props and things like that within the space, within the image, to tell the story. And so it took me a while to go through each thing, create a scene for each poem, for everything. And it just so happened, when I was in Virginia for her launch, I stayed in Richmond at a family member's house. And it was the perfect mix of contemporary and antique. Even from some of the decorations in the room, there was a lamp that was clearly modern, and then this lamp that looked like it was from the 1920s in the same room. Neither are plugged in. It's just kind of stored there. So it for me, it was like, this is where I want to shoot. Like it was that. So we're actually I've only shot one image for the show. We are going to Richmond this weekend to do the majority of the shoot, and then I'll do some more on Sunday here in Delaware. But it's a long process for me because I'm very intentional about telling a specific story, because I'm asking these women to participate, and there will be nudity. I want to make sure that it's done in a way that is respectful of them, respectful of the story that I want to tell, respectful of Shayla's story. So it's not just a thing where I could go out and shoot. Not for this. Usually I've done theme-based, even when I have theme-based projects, because I also have opening the same day as this show, a show at Rehoboth Beach, Camp Rehoboth, opening, and it's a theme-based project. So that that's a whole other process that I take with that. So,
well, we've got about 2 minutes left, so let's talk about the exhibition itself, titled 401, where it's going to be, how people can find out information about it, and I'm curious, why is it titled 401?
Well, 401,
yeah, 401 will open. We're going to be part of the Wilmington Art Loop on Friday, February 7th, the sort of, I guess, the gallery will be open from, I believe, 5 p.m. to 9 p.m., and I will give a reading at 6:30 p.m. But we chose 401 because 2019 marked the year that we both received our fellowships. It marked the 400 years since the first enslaved Africans were brought to Virginia to be sold into slavery. And Annette Gordon-Reed in The Hemingses of Monticello talks about how the degradation of black female sexuality is one of white supremacy, one of slavery's chief legacies, and one of white supremacy's continuing projects. And in conversation with that, talking about black sexuality, we wanted to be clear, like, yes, 400 years marks a big year, but every single year, this legacy affects us. And so 401, it is 2020 now when our exhibition is happening during Black History Month. And we wanted to make it clear, like, this is a legacy that doesn't just revolve around big anniversaries and years that commemorate the legacy, but it happens for every single year and every single moment in Black women's lives. So that's why we titled it 401.
And
go ahead.
And for me, visually, and I like to create an experience. So I'm working with a curator in residence at Chris White Gallery to really create an experience. There'll be music that is either by black women or to empower black women. There'll be two floors of visual art, and Shadia's poetry will accompany some of the images so that viewers will be able to really just have an experience and, yeah.
Okay. Shayla, I neglected to ask you earlier. This is all based on a work of yours that is published now, correct?
Yes, it is.
So how can our listeners find out about copies of that to read in advance of the exhibition?
Yes. So you can either, the book is available at Barnes Noble and Amazon and your local bookstore, support independent bookstores. But you can find out more information at my website, www.chetlasebree.com. But the book is called Mistress, and it is available most places that you purchase books.
And it's an anthology of poems, is that correct?
Yes, it's a collection of poems.
Okay.
Can I chime in really
Absolutely.
Quickly?
We've got plenty of time.
Okay, yeah. I just want to say something Shayla has not mentioned about her book. Do you mind if I say that?
Oh, okay. You can.
Okay, thank you. She was nominated this year for that collection for an NAACP Image Award, which is, for me, I was just like, oh, no, she's not going to want to do this show with me now.
Not at all.
No, but she, I mean, I think it's amazing, and I think it's very, very well deserved.
Well, congratulations to you,
Shayla. Thank you.
And just once more, before we sign off, when and where is the exhibition going to be, and how can people find out more information about it?
The exhibition will be February 7th at Chris White Gallery downtown. I think it's 701 Shipley Street. It'll be a part of the Art Loop. There's information, again, on my website, SAWPHOTOG, .com. You can also find information at Delaware Scene, and it'll be listed with the other Art Loop venues as well for February.
Well, it sounds like it's going to be just a wonderful exhibition. And kudos again, Shayla, to you on the recognition.
Thank you. To
both of you, your recognition as Delaware Artist Fellows in what is always a highly competitive round of applications. It's been a pleasure chatting with both of you. Best to both of you in this exhibition and in your future endeavors.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.